My Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Back in the day, when I first came out here, I used to listen and I used to watch on television an old preacher named Lester Summerall. And man, this guy was very, very deep. He gets all into the spiritual realm and stuff like that. And he has a series. Normally he talks about angels and demons and things like that. But he used to do missionary work overseas and stuff. You know, a lot of time when these preachers go overseas and do missionary work, they come back here changed. They really believe in the supernatural and stuff. And he has a big series on fear and unbelief. It's called How to Cope. How to Cope. And today we're listening to How to Cope with Fear. How to Cope with Fear. Get close to your radio and listen as he teaches.
We're studying one of the greatest of them in this study. And I hope that it will be a great blessing to you. How do you cope with fear? To you that have a teaching syllabus, it begins on page 17. Human fear has been called man's deadliest enemy. Isn't that amazing? Fear can break your relationship with God. Fear can break your relationship in your family. Fear can make your business to fail. Fear has so many terrible things that it can do to a person. And all of them are unreal. All of them are unreal. It is only your belief in them that makes them poison. And when you refuse them and don't accept them, then they're simply nothing. They are nothing. Yet human fear has been called man's deadliest enemy. Unreasonable fear. Fear without a reason behind it. All fear has no reason behind it. Tormenting fear. You can't sleep at night, you can't rest in the daytime, you can't do the work that you need to do. Persistent fear that won't leave you alone, every day, every night, the same. Such fears can totally destroy your peace, your happiness, and your ability to achieve in the world that we live in today. Now listen carefully. Most fears have to be learned. When I was a child, older people thought it was real funny to frighten little children. And I remember when I was a boy, we had an uncle that, don't think he had all of his marbles, but that was his opinion different from mine. But he came to visit us, and he put a sheet over his head and stood at the door of my bedroom and made funny mark, you know, movements about it, trying to frighten me. I don't like to hit kin folks, but if I'd have had a baseball bat, I'd have used it. I was so angry with that man, downright angry, that his joy was in trying to frighten a child. But mothers are bad at this. Don't you go in there. A boogie bear will get you. Now, the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Oh, you see, that's a white lie. No, it's an untruth. And sometimes we try to frighten children into obedience. We can't get them to obey any other way, so we try to scare them into it. Fear is a monster. And fear has to be planted in the human heart. The only fear, I understand, that a newborn baby has is release. That if you are holding it and you drop it, it brings fear. It's not afraid of people. It's not afraid of places. That has to be taught them that they know how to fear. So most fears have to be learned. And they are the result of wrong teaching. Isn't that a terrible thing? When you think about the jungle people, they're afraid of almost everything, and it's all taught them by the people that were older than they are. Isn't that a wicked thing? And they go through life trembling and shaking by something somebody taught them that didn't know what they were talking about. As I told you, a baby does not realize it has enemies. They're born that way, right from heaven. They don't know anything about enemies. A baby is taught that he is surrounded. A baby has to be taught that he is surrounded by foes. But unfortunately, many of those enemies are only imaginary, and they're only emotional. And if you deal with them in reality, then you have missed life. You have missed life completely. In visiting homes of broken down personalities, one sees every type and degree of ill health. In many instances, unreasoning fear is a basic cause. That if you had broken the power of fear in them, you would have been able to set them free. We have dealt with hundreds of thousands of people with fear. We have discovered that fear is actually a spirit. The Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So if you have fear, don't blame it on God. The Bible says he didn't give it to you. And the Bible also says it's a spirit. A spirit. And so people that are deadly in fear are permitting a spirit to dominate their lives. Now, until you realize what a crisis it is in your life when you're going to be dominated by fear, you won't know how to get rid of it. In my services throughout America, if I ask people how many like to be prayed for fear, you'd be amazed. Sometimes there are hundreds of people that come and stand and says, I want to get rid of fear. I believe the Word of God can rid you of fear. Just read the Bible and you wouldn't be afraid anymore. I know fear went out of my life through the Bible. That my father had told me that I couldn't go out and preach, and he cursed me when I wanted to go out and preach. And he told me I would starve to death if I did go out and preach. And I fell on the floor shaking because of fear. And God spoke to me and said in Isaiah 41 and 10, you read it. I didn't know what it was. But the first three words said, fear thou not. And God took it all out of there. God just took it out. I haven't been bothered with fear since I was 17 years old. So I have a right to talk about it, you see. God took it out and it hadn't been back. But we have set literally thousands of people free from fear by the power of God. God can set you free from it. You'd be amazed at the friends that are watching me right now. Hundreds of thousands of them in the state of Indiana through television. And many, many hundreds through satellite from the West Coast to the East Coast. And many here in our auditorium that are listening right now. Fear is a deadly enemy. You can't have faith and fear at the same time. In any area where you have fear, you don't have faith there. Because the two don't live in the same house. And the only way that you can have faith is to get fear out. Can you say amen? When you go to institutions, for those that are, whose minds are broken and they're having to live in an asylum, you'll find their one of their basic problems has been fear. One of the beautiful chapters of verses of the Bible is 1 John 4:18. If you just have a Bible, read it. 1 John 4:18. If you have a teaching syllabus, still on page 17, it says, there is no fear in love. I want us to say that again. There is no fear in love. I want us to say it a little stronger. There is no fear in love. How many believe that? So if you have a fear, you're outside of love. If you have fear, you're outside of love. Who would ever thought that the medicine for fear was love, to cure fear? Isn't that amazing? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Now the Bible says God is love. When you have the fullness of God, you cannot be afraid. And any area of your life where there's fear, God's not there. Because God is love. And perfect, and there's no fear in love. And perfect love, fullness of love, absolute love, God, fullness of God, says it casteth out fear. That word cast, you know, is a kind of a mean word. When you don't want something and you throw it out the window, you've cast it out. It didn't walk out the door. You threw it out. You see? And so it says perfect love just tosses fear out, just throws it out. It means it doesn't even act friendly with it. It says fear hath torment. How many knows that's true? Yeah. Fear has torment. It just scatters your brain and ruins your emotions. Takes away your willpower. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. Isn't that nice? Now, he that feareth isn't a good Christian. He that feareth hasn't come into maturity. I'm reading from the Bible. It's 1 John 4:18. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I copied down a few of the fears here. They're so foolish. I won't read them all to you. The first one there says, aerophobia means a fear of cats. I don't see why anybody would fear a kitty cat, but some do. Algophobia is a fear of pain. There are some people that shake for about 3 minutes before they walk into the dentist office. Are you still here? At the bottom of page 17, it says, astrophobia means fear of thunderstorms. Over on your page 18, you have a whole row of them, and I hope none of them have anything to do with your life. It says, pharmacophobia is a fear of medicine. It says, cytophobia is a fear of eating. Now, I'm sure that that long list of them, certainly there are 40 of them listed here, is not the end of fear. The devil cooked up a few more today, I'm sure. Because it's one of his strongest instruments for destroying your relationship with God, and destroying your relationship with peace, destroying your relationship with happiness. And he is a destroyer. And all he wishes to do is to destroy. Can you say amen? On page 19, you have our strong lesson for today. And I don't know how much of it we can get through to, but it's a strong lesson. It begins by saying, no believer. I don't know why we didn't say Christian there. Because a lot of people that call themselves Christians are not Christian. But it says, no believer. That is a person attached to Christ. No believer should be fearful. Because nowhere in God's Bible are believers taught to fear. You're taught to respect God. You say, but the Bible says to fear God. Well, it's the same way he's our Heavenly Father. It's the same way with my father. When I was a boy, if he said, would you bring in some wood? And all of our heat came from wood when I was a boy. And put it there in the box, in the wood box. Now, if I did that, I was hanging on the front gate when he arrived, waiting for something good to come to me. But if I didn't do it, I was very difficult to find, and it was very difficult for me to hear anything, and especially his voice. I was hidden. You see, what was the problem? The problem was I had disobeyed. You see, the problem was I had disobeyed. And so when you go to locate fear, you always find disobedience linking around the thing. Are you here? Yeah. Nowhere in the Bible are we taught to be a fearful people. We're taught the exact opposite. Look at James 4 and 7. It says, submit yourselves unto God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Submit yourselves unto God. And then he says, resist the devil. Say resist. You know, that's a military word. The resistance movements that begin in countries to overthrow government. Resist the devil. That's a very active word. It's a strong word. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Put a circle around the word flee. It doesn't mean walk, nor crawl, nor even run. It means to run with terror. And if you will go after the devil by resisting him, but you first submit yourselves to God. A lot of people resist the devil and he don't even budge. You haven't yet submitted yourselves to God. You first submit yourself to God and then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. So no believer should stand in fear. No believer should be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to live. We shouldn't be afraid to die. Are you here? We shouldn't be afraid of the dark nor the light. Because God's people are not a fearful people. The devil's people are, but God's people are not afraid. Well, you say, I'm God's people and I'm afraid. Well, that's why God brought you here, to get that cast out of you. So you can move in close to God. Let's look at the origin of fear. If you don't find the origin of it, you'll miss a thing anyway. If you want to know about anything, see where it came from. You know pretty well about it as soon as you know where it came from. Bad things come out of a bad situation. Good things come out of a good situation. And so if you want to know how good a thing is, see where it comes from. When someone asked me if I would join up with the gurus and start saying, oom, oom, I said, where did you come from? India. Oh, I guess in India, everybody's prosperous. Oh, in India, everybody's well. In India, everybody's happy. You did it before you left. You didn't leave there with a job undone, did you? They start backing off. They said, no, they didn't receive it over there. So then you better go back and do a better job at home before you come over here. A thing that won't work at home won't work anywhere. Yeah. God wants it to work at home. And you want to know the source of anything. Until you know where it came from, you don't know what value it is. The origin of fear on planet Earth. It's in the middle of page 19. The first recorded fear is in Genesis 3 and 10. Isn't that amazing? In the first few words of the Bible, we have the origin of fear. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Adam was speaking, and he was talking to God. Because I was naked, and I hid myself. Fear will always make you hide yourself, either physically, emotionally, intellectually. Fear always wants you to hide your true person. A man full of fear can never be, you know, what he really is. He's afraid to show it. But as soon as he is rid of the thing, his beautiful person comes out for everybody to see. Can you say amen? So the first recorded fear was found in the first pages of the Bible. And it was in your beat there. It says it came because of transgression. This means the history of fear is related to transgression, which is sin. This should not teach the Christian. This should not touch the Christian, because the Christian has been rid of sin. Sin is broken in his life. Sin is destroyed in his life. And the Christian should not be related to that which has to do with transgression. Fear and transgression are friends and buddies, and they live together. But faith and Christians live together, and they don't have any relationship with fear and with sin and with transgression. We have left that place and come into God, and we have no reason to bring any of that junk over with us. Can you say amen? In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That was our text. All right. How do you get victory over fear? What? You know, how can you do it? I don't believe you can do it by saying, I won't be afraid anymore. No, you're scared right then. It's your problem. And so it doesn't go out that way. How do you get victory over fear? One, God gives you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And with those three spirits, you have force and strength that's not human, that's not natural. It's from God. I was quoting to you a few moments ago, 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. If you'd look at it carefully there, in my translation, it says, the spirit of fear, identifying one certain spirit, the spirit of fear. But he has given us a spirit of power. Power is two things. Power is authority, and power is energy. Your presence is powerful. Your presence is powerful. You walk in a place that has sinners in it, and immediately they all stare at you. Your presence is powerful. God has given us a presence of authority. Can you say amen? I interviewed a witch doctor in Africa. After interviewing him, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, go ahead. He said, I can't resist you. There is a wall of fire right behind you, and you can do anything you want to do, and I won't say a word. You see, there is a presence. There's a presence that God gives us of authority, and a presence of strength and power that comes from being born again. So God doesn't give you fear. God gives you authority and energy, which is power. And God gives you love, which is God. God is love. And God gives you a sound mind. Say sound mind. Sound mind. Oh, you say, I met some Christian that were nuts. No, there were some nuts that became Christian. They didn't get that way because they became Christian. How many believe that? You better believe it. But God can heal the mind. If you start seeking in that direction, and God can heal the human mind. He can heal your mind as well as you can your feet. He can heal any part of you. He can heal any part of you. I may have ever seen a sign that says authorized dealer. You know what it means? That he's got parts that go with your need. And over every church, we ought to write authorized dealer for spiritual parts. That we know the one that made you, and he has some parts left over too. And when you need another part, be sure to go to an authorized dealer, or you might get something you don't want. The heathen, the pagan, almost invariably have a spirit of fear. The Arabs are very frightened people. They got so many things to be afraid of. And you talk to them, they bring out their fears. The Africans in the jungles have so many fears. They tremble before their fears. Whoever serves the devil is loaded with fears. And they're not real, and they're not true, but they believe in them. They believe in them. And God has set his people free from those fears. God's people have a spirit of love and not a spirit of fear. At least 365 times in the Bible, the words fear not are mentioned. There's a promise for each day that you don't ever need to be afraid. You need to walk in faith, walk in strength, and walk in power. Can you say amen? If we know where fear came from, let's look at a few people who were successful in their lives. God always told his men, when you read back through the Bible, it's so exciting, not to be afraid, you know. In Luke 12:32, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many believe that? That's what Jesus said. Fear not, we are his flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, a command that the judges of Israel were not to fear men. The judges of Israel says, ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. That's something. If you were going to be a judge, you couldn't be a scaredy cat. Are you here? All right. If you're going to have position, you had to be unafraid. In Isaiah 12 and 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Say song. Yeah, he is my song. He also is become my salvation. And so when Jehovah becomes your Savior and your Lord, then he gives you a strength and a song. Isn't that nice? He gives you power and you can sing about it. How beautiful it is. And in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 25, Joshua said unto them, to the people, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and be of a good courage. For thus shall Jehovah do all your enemies against whom you fight. God had told a nation, not just a few people, God had told a nation not to fear giants, not to fear walled cities. I presume that in our country today, the politicians have fear of certain things, great fear of them. And all it can do is hurt them, because you never have success in fear. If you're going to overcome a thing, you got to believe you can do it and get in there and do it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Daniel 10 and 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. That's what the angel of the Lord told Daniel. It says, peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Glory be to God. And Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we won't be afraid. I think we need that during this hour, don't you? Yeah. God is our strength and God is our refuge. He's a present help in the time of trouble. And we will not fear, though the earth be moved, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we will not be afraid. You say, Brother Sumrall, how can we defeat fear? How can we defeat fear? I'd say, one, read the Word. You know, the Bible is a cure for fear and a lot of other things. Read the Gospel of John two or three times. Just read it, read it, read it. You might just find that fear has no place in the Word of God. That is, you read the Word, fear goes, and you can't have fear and Word at the same time. That the Word of God casts out fear for you. And then pray. Pray sincerely. Talk to fear. Say, fear, go! You know what will happen? It'll go.
All right. That was Lester Sumrall, and he was talking about how to cope with fear. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.